This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Wes mentioned busy hour coming up. Gavin Cross will make his debut on the show. He is rocking it for Virginia Tech's baseball team, which has been a great story, and they are playing big-time baseball. They're getting the job done. We'll give you a little true and false. We've got some bobblehead updates for you as well. But right now, we're switching gears. We're going to the Commonwealth. Talk a little football, Louisville style. The coach, Scott Satterfield, joins us front and center. Coach, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning. Doing outstanding. How you guys doing?
Man, we can't complain. You kidding me? It's April, and we're so much better off than we were a year ago in every sense, shape, way, form, right? We got the vaccine rocking. We got football practice going on. We got spring sports doing their thing. We could be in a much tougher spot. I know it's amazing when you look back going, holy mackerel, hard to believe how far you've come from a year ago.
Yeah, it really is. You know, last year this time, we're all sitting at home trying to figure things out, you know, doing a bunch of Zoom calls and wondering when we're coming back in here. And quite honestly, wondering if what's going to happen to all of us. You know, are we going to have sports, or is anybody going to have a job anymore? So we've come a long way, and I think we made it through the storm there. And hopefully we're getting ready to see the other side of this thing, you know, with the vaccine rollout and you know, just a lot of positive signs, I hope. And, you know, we've still got our fingers crossed.
All right. So take us through kind of how the spring's been different. If it has, is it more back to normal, or is there still some hesitancy to, you know, to go through like full speed opportunities, things like that? Because we've had a few spring games here, and I know you're not going to do one, but the practice sessions and things like that, has it been about as normal as you could hope?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the term normal is a little bit different now, I think. You know, what we went through last fall, you know, we were kind of the same way this spring. You know, we still were doing testing, and we still are testing now throughout the week, you know, as far as that goes. And the spring practice was good for us. You know, we went about 3 days a week and spread it out, and, you know, really didn't miss a beat. And really for us, as doing all this testing, we really I can't hardly remember anybody that was positive throughout the spring practice. I mean, you know, we really didn't miss a beat, didn't miss any players, you know, went through that and stayed healthy through spring. And I think anytime you go through spring and you're healthy, you get a lot of things done, then that's a positive. And, you know, in the last 4 or 5 weeks, we've been training hard. We've been in a weight room. The guys, you know, agilities and fundamental work outside on the field. But so it's been a very productive spring, but for us, it was pretty normal for us. And it feels normal, and it feels like it did before the pandemic happened.
Coach, I'd like to offer a business proposition to you and to Vince Tyree. You ready for this? Because I've been giving this some
thought. I'm ready. I was wondering how long into this conversation before something like this would come out. So right, it didn't take long.
All right. Listen, because I knew you were coming on this week, and I gave it some thought. I said, you know, I got something for Coach, and I hope Vince is watching this too. Now, I don't know what your schedule looks like for next year. And I'm talking about 22 spring. But let me just throw something at you as just a suggestion. All right? Just a suggestion. I know you don't have a spring game this year, but let's just say for argument's sake, next year you go, hey, we're going to have a spring game. I would like to suggest, just a suggestion, that April the 30th would be a great date. That's the last Saturday in April. And we would be willing, and I'm going to speak for my partner on this one, we would be willing to join to be a part of it in some shape, way, or form. Coaches, trainers, drive the bus over, tape the guys up, whatever you need me to do, or Wes. But we also hang around for another week and just roll it right into the Kentucky Derby and do our shows every day of the week from Louisville. Oh. So we go spring football. We could be coaches like what, you know, Florida State did, bringing in some Gator guys and, you know, Andrea. Yeah. We could do that on the 30th of April. We hang tight. Just chill out in Louisville for the week and roll right into the Derby. That's just a suggestion from Packer and Durham to Louisville. Yeah.
Well, I think I'm all in favor of that. We can do that April 30th. We can you guys can call the game because we'll put it on the ACC network. We'll call the game. You guys call it. Okay. We'll also get you down through in some point in the game, put you on opposite sides. One of you can call offense, one can call defense for a period of the game.
All right.
You stay the next week. Yep. You do your show from Louisville all week leading up to the Derby. I think all for that.
Okay.
Let's get that done.
I like – again, I'm just suggesting. I'm not causing any issues.
Yeah, but I've thought about it, too, for the last couple of years. I know you've mentioned it a bunch. You like that brown water that we have here. I think it would be a great week, you know, for you in particular. And for Louisville, I think it's a win-win all the way around. Yeah,
that's exactly you're thinking exactly right, Coach. You're connecting the dots perfectly there. I like the way you're thinking.
Yeah, right behind all the shows, Sat. I'm going to be more interested in the tee times, just so you know, so we can get the clarity on that.
Wait a minute. You know, here again, Durham. This is why I'm offering the suggestion. I'm coming up there to work. Wes is looking for relaxation. I'm talking about putting together quality content. I'm not talking about getting on the links.
Yeah.
We're talking about, you know,
we're going to get Louisville. On the links. Look,
hey, this is about Louisville, about us. No.
Well, we're going to work hard. And then we're going to play hard, right? I mean, we're going to do both.
Yeah. That's it.
You're not aware of some of the conversations that have gone on in and around the Louisville area concerning golf with some of the Cardinal clientele, if you will.
Well, I don't
so
play
So it's
going
to happen.
Don't play golf.
I know you don't. You do radio in the afternoons. We play golf.
That's
okay.
Right. Some work, some
don't. I want to get into the Malik Cunningham discussion. This league is going to reload at quarterback in a way that I don't think many think nationally it is. Because everybody sees Trevor Lawrence and he'll be the number one pick in the draft, and we all understand that. But the power at that position in this league, and I know you do a lot of offseason work and you look at other teams and other schools that you're going to play, but can you think of a stronger set in one league than the quarterback play we're getting ready to see in this league?
You know, it would be a great conversation. Now, there's a lot of great quarterbacks in this league and guys that can do a lot of different things. You know, guys that can throw the football, guys that can run, and guys that can do both. You know, and really, you just look at Clemson. You mentioned Trevor Lawrence, who's leaving, but the guy who's coming in is pretty daggone good. We saw what he did last year when he got his opportunity. You know, you think about Miami with King. You know, there's a ton of Pitts quarterback, Virginia. You know, obviously, you know, the guy, the gunslinger down in Chapel Hill. I mean, there's so many guys in this league that can get it done and have won a lot of games for their team. So it's going to make it for a very, very competitive ACC this year, I think, because of the way the quarterbacks are. And you know, depending on how they play, you know Cunningham had a solid year last year. We turned the ball over too many times. You know, if the guys who take care of the football, they obviously are going to give their team the best chance to win. But Cunningham's a dynamic player. I mean, he can do it with his legs. He can do it with his arm. You know, I think he's continuing to grow and learn as the position evolves for him. And I'm excited about it. Excited about what he's going to bring to the table. And, you know, and he's probably, you know, getting that conversation, you know, the fourth, fifth, sixth quarterback in the league. And that tells you, you know, how strong this league is.
All right. Take me through where your competitive depth is this spring. And was there an area that caught your eye in terms of battles that you thought, well, maybe we got a guy here, but we're not sure what's behind him. Where did you find that competitive depth this spring?
Well, you know, I'm really excited about up front offensive line play. You know, I thought we got here. That to me, that was a weakness. Besides Kai Becton, I thought he obviously was a great player and got drafted number 11th pick overall. But I think we've really developed some great depth there at that position. You know, and what we're going to have up front is probably 8-9 guys that can play and play at a high level. So we're excited about that up front. We did lose some firepower offensively. You know, we think about Des Fitzpatrick, Tutu Atwell, Javian Hawkins. I mean, those three guys the last couple of years have put up some great numbers for us. But I do think we have some really good players coming back that maybe, you know, the guys out there hadn't heard of as much, but are going to be playmakers for us. You know, so we'll see. I think we'll be probably more by committee as you look at offensively. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you know, C.J. Avery, Monty Montgomery, our two inside linebackers, I think, are going to be great players for us. And I think our defense, defensively, we finished, I think, maybe fourth last year. And you count Notre Dame in that, in total defense. And I think we'll be better this year. So hopefully we'll be one of the best defenses in the ACC, which will give us a chance, you know, I think, to compete, you know, to be one of the better teams in the league.
Coach, one of the cool things about the league, I think, as we get into the summertime, is the anticipation of the openers. And, again, hopefully we've got crowds and we're kind of back to whatever the normal is going to look like. But the opening games for ACC teams, this is a no-joke league as far as excitement, anticipation, conference game, again, like North Carolina, Virginia Tech, but the non-conference slates to start the season are tremendous across the board, and that includes your team jumping on Ole Miss, and I just think of points, points, points. I know you're just sitting here talking about defense, but, man, both these teams just seem to have the ability to be able to put up a lot of points right out of the gate that first game.
Man, yeah, huge challenge, though, when you talk about Ole Miss. I think maybe number one, or the number one, number two offense in the country last year. They run a lot of plays. They go extremely fast. We know, you know, Lane Kiffin, what he's done offensively over his whole career, really, and now what they have coming back, man, with their quarterback. They're one of the better running backs in the country. You know, they're outstanding. We're going to have to hold on tight there, and we're going to have to score points. I mean, there's no question about it when you play Ole Miss. I was looking back at some of their games last year. You know, they would score 50 and lose sometimes. I'm like, wow, you know, they're going to put points up. So we're going to have to score. Then you got Ole Miss. We got Central Florida coming here, you know, which is always a solid team. We finished the year with Kentucky. So, I mean, we got a tough non-conference schedule when you look at those three opponents. You know, obviously the ACC schedule is going to be tough. So, you know, we know we got a challenging schedule, and, you know, our guys are working hard for that. But, yeah, it's going to be fun. We go to Atlanta, play on national TV on Monday night. I mean, that's going to be a great opener for the ACC, I think, versus the SEC.
You mentioned your schedule, and we talked about this last winter when it came out. You got five of your last seven at home. So, really, you do have to be locked in, ready to go, because a lot of these challenges are going to be roadies to start, and even Ole Miss is a neutral site game. So you got to almost change a little bit of the mentality of easing into a season, don't you?
Yeah, no question. Yeah, you need to be hitting on all cylinders right off the start. You know, we have three games in the first 13 days. So it's going to be tight there early on, you know. So we're going to get after it pretty good in August. Probably more so than what we have in the past, just because for that reason, you know, and you can't be, you know, easing into the season this year. I mean, we're going to have to go hard, go fast in August and be ready to go. And then our first conference games down in Tallahassee, you know, and I know they're going to have a lot better football team this year, a ton of transfers that have gone in there. And you know, Coach Norvell is a great coach, and he'll have those guys ready. So, you know, to start the conference season off down in Tallahassee, we know we want to be obviously hitting on all cylinders at that point.
Coach, my final question for you is, we go back to divisions this year with Notre Dame going back to their independent status. Did you enjoy everybody's in the same group and any top two teams we'll see in Charlotte? Again, you've had a chance to kind of live both worlds here, divisions and non-divisions. Any comment on that front?
I really enjoyed it. I really did. I liked having just the one league. You know, and they set a schedule and you play it, and then to take the two top teams to go. I just think it makes it for more competitive balance within the conference. I think you also have, you know, some flexibility in scheduling, you know, to where, you know, teams that are not necessarily in opposite divisions and have to play a non-conference game, you know, basically to play a team that's right down the road. I think about, you know, North Carolina, Wake Forest, for example. So I like the way we did it last year. I thought it was awesome. We'd like to see it go to that way, but I don't really have a whole lot of control in that. So whatever schedule they put out for us, that's what we're going to play.
Yeah, listen, we don't need you to worry about. The only scheduling issue we need you to handle is April 30th, 2022. That's it. All right.
Absolutely. And we got a year to get it planned out. So we should be in good shape. Well, I'll visit with Vince on that, and I know you will too.
Okay. Fair enough. That sounds good. Stay healthy.
Yeah. 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 There's never been more emphasis on a statement than I know you'll talk to Vince than what you just said. Yeah, because I guarantee you, whatever you mentioned to Vince and C-Mac and all these other people will not compare to what Packer will do with Vince. So there you go. I mean, we feel pretty good.
I just get stuff done. That's what I do. I don't need the need the noise. I don't need anybody's opinion. We got a plan. That's what we're going to try to do. That's the deal.
Absolutely.
Based on today's show, if we do end up coming to Louisville, Packer will bring you a bobblehead from some radio promotion he did 18 years ago. Yeah,
there I'll throw you it go. In free of charge. Free of charge.
Yeah, I'll put it right here behind me on my desk, so anytime I'm on the show, we'll be able to see it.
There you go.
Good.
There you go.
That'd be even better. Product endorsement. Thank you as always. Best to you, my man. Appreciate it.
Great to see you guys. Take care.
You too, man. Scott Satterfield, head football coach, University of Louisville. Great fun.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, Thursday edition, show number 364 for anybody keeping score at home.
Good show, by the way.
Yep,
good show.
We're not done. We're not done. We have time for a little true and false. We go and involve the Lumberjacks and all the smart people up there in Bristol who keep this bad boy afloat and between the ditches. That's what they do. Let's do it. Voice of Victory is up next. The Voice of Victory. Time for a little true or false presented by Dish. What's up, Voice of Victory? How are we doing?
Good morning. Doing well. How about you guys?
Excellent.
Good.
Excellent to see you, Josh. Hope things are well.
Likewise. Pack, are you ready for your mood to change?
False.
All right. Well, we're going to change it anyway because we spent a lot of time yesterday talking about FPI and their preseason predictions. So true or false, FPI
false.
Will correctly pick
false.
More
but
winners.
It's false. Just stop. You said FPI incorrectly. False. You don't have to finish the sentence. False.
Will they do better than BPI?
False.
Which was accurate 70% of the time.
False. FPI, BPI, all that. False. In all caps.
Oh, man. I am telling you. If we ever get to the company picnic, I can see it now.
They're not going to the company picnic. They're not inviting us to the company
Somebody over the deviled eggs and the ham, somebody's going to come up and go, you're that Packer guy, aren't
you? That's right. That's right. I am. And you'll find me in Louisville.
I am Mr. Jones. I am Mr. Jones from Analytics, and I'd like a word with you.
April 30th, 2022, you'll find me in Louisville for the week at the rate we're going.
Gosh.
The answer is false with FPI. False, false. With cowbells.
Way to go, Josh. Right out of the gate. Voice of Victory delivered the goods.
Mississippi State,
well
number
done.
Eight.
Would you like to submit an answer, Wes?
He knows.
I'll go true just for the fun of it. I have no clue, no skin in the game. I'll just say true. True. They'll correctly pick more winners in football than BPI did in basketball. Yes, I'll say true.
Well, when you said no clue in FPI, that would be true. But the answer is false.
Well, everybody, just a reminder, BPI is always right, no matter what they predict.
False.
I like how you said, are you ready for your mood to change?
All right, guys, next one.
All right. What are you going to do now? What are we going to do now? Show Dodgers receiving their half a year World Series ring ceremony? Are we just going to just pile on while we're in the mood?
If you'd like.
No, false.
We could also talk about the ineptitude of the NCAA, if you'd like.
True.
As a matter of fact, that is what we'll do.
Sure.
True or false?
True.
NIL legislation will have a bigger impact on the landscape of college sports than the transfer portal will over the next 5 years.
False.
Ooh.
False.
Yeah. Next 5 years, false. 10 to 15, true. How about that, Pac? Because I think eventually student-athletes will realize the transfer portal's not this end-all, be-all. And just because you go jumping into it, you're actually sacrificing your spot. Remember now how many empty spots there are going to be.
That's right.
In the scholarship well of some of these schools.
Yeah.
But I think right now in the next 5 years, I would say the transfer portal will have the bigger impact. Not NIL, but long-term, NIL. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the grass, they're going to find out the grass is not only greener, it's a desert. That's what they're going to find. And there's going to be no turning back. They're going to go, well, what happened to my spot? Oh, it's gotten used up. But congratulations.
Yeah.
This is going to happen.
Wait till we tell you this. Yeah. Wait till we tell you the story of the kid that left a Power 5 school and a scholarship and went in the transfer portal only to never finish his college education and couldn't find a spot to finish.
Yeah, and that individual, he or she, I do not want to hear, oh, man, the system's against me. No, it is not.
No.
Bad decisions
no.
You need to be held responsible for. That's how it works as an adult.
It. You got it.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Clemson and Pitt meet in soccer on Saturday. They
true.
Have met twice. That is true. They have met twice in postseason play in series history. Both times, Clemson beat Pitt by a one-goal margin. True or false?
That's true.
That is also true. True or false, though, the winning margin for this edition of Clemson versus Pitt will be more than one goal, one way or the other.
False. False. Saying it's one game, one goal. One goal difference, that's it. I think this will be a heck of a show.
It'll be tremendous. So you're thinking 1-0, 2-1, 3-2, right? That's what you're basically saying here, Wes?
Yeah, that's it. 3-2, 4-3, 5-4, that type deal. Yep.
10-9.
Listen, exactly.
Let me get my Rachel Keane coin here on this one. Heads, tails. True. Landed on tails. True. Next.
All right, Pac's picking a big margin. I'm not. There we go.
All right, guys, last one. Coming up in a couple minutes here, we're going to be joined by Gavin Cross, one of two ACC hitters to be batting over 400 this season. True or false, there will be a hitter that finishes the season hitting 400 or better.
Boy, right. That's crazy.
It's a big number, and I'm going to say false. I mean, you got
what?
Cross, Leonard, Parada. They're all in that neighborhood, but no.
I'm going to go the other way and say somebody does. You know, I know we had this question the other day regarding a team being over 300. I think Georgia Tech at the time was. Now they're under 300. But for an individual, I'm going to say true. For a team, no. That's hard. But the way these guys are banging, man, I'm going to say it stays hot for another 6 weeks. I'm going to go true. True. Mm. Keep an eye on that.
Bill Merrifield, by the way, has the ACC record. Talk about the untouchables. 1983, the legendary Deacon. By the way, I like to say this. He's Whit Merrifield's dad. Because I knew Whit when he was this tall. The shortstop of the Royals. Bill Merrifield hit 476 in 1983 back.
That's a bunch of bad pitching.
It's incredible.
It's a bunch of bad pitching.
Bobby Seymour, by the way. Yeah. Bobby Seymour won the 2019 title hitting 377. So, anyway, good stuff there.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Right now, we're going to talk Virginia Tech baseball. Wes, there are about two or three amazing stories going on, not only within this league, but nationwide. And you'd have to throw the Hokies in there along with what Pitt's doing and what Notre Dame's doing from a conference perspective. But like I said, from a national perspective, everybody's paying attention going, man, these dudes are absolutely getting the job done. With that said, Gavin Cross joins us from beautiful Blacksburg, Virginia. Gavin, first of all, welcome to the show, and congrats to the hot start. You guys are really playing good baseball.
It's a pleasure being on here. Thanks for having me.
You got it. So what's the story, man? What is the secret sauce of why this baseball team has caught fire and has got everybody turning their heads going, man, what is going on with the Hokies in this baseball?
We're playing with a lot of confidence, and our coaching staff believes in us. We, from the beginning of the season, coaches told us that it's going to be a long season. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. Keep with the flow, and we're playing well right now and look to continue it this weekend against Georgia Tech at home.
Yeah, it's interesting. We talked with Danny Hall the other day about just how big a weekend series that will be. You guys did the job last week in Winston-Salem, and now all of a sudden, here we are getting ready to get into late April, and you know, Gavin, even though last year was changed because of the pandemic, this is kind of where the story gets told, right? This last month of the regular season in the tournament.
It's all about building up a resume and for the postseason and regional bids. And as far as that goes, I played Georgia Tech last year in the shortened season. They're a really good team. They're coached well. They have a lot of good players. And this is obviously a massive weekend because we're both in the same side of the conference. We're both playing well. I've been ranked high. We've been ranked high. It'll just determine who really comes out on top this weekend, is who makes the better pitches, who makes better plays, and the one or two plays will be the difference in the weekend.
Gavin, you guys hit only 10 home runs last week in my hometown of Winston-Salem. Property damage where some of those things landed. I've got neighbors from back then. I mean, those Hokies, I'm glad they're out of town, man. Those guys are wearing people out. What is up with the celebration at home plate after these bombs now? Because you guys got something cool going on here.
Yeah, Wake is probably the shortest porch I've played in since high school, by the way. But
it wouldn't have mattered. If left field was in my backyard, you still would have been hitting them out, man. You guys were bombing that thing last week.
Oh, man. The hammer celebration came about last spring with our assistant coach, Coach Hansen and Coach Elbin. Their memo was like, in our scouting reports, was hammer the fastball, hammer baseballs. And one day in the spring last year, I want to say against Bryant, early in the year, our assistant coach, Coach Hansen, actually went out and bought a hammer, and whichever guy leads the team in extra bases at the end of the year actually like gets to take the hammer with them. We sign it every time that we hit a homer, so it's fun. It's a fun thing for us, and our fans seem to like it, and it's kind of just caught on with social media as well. Hammer and Hokies, whatever you want to call it, it's kind of our calling card now.
All right, so Gavin, it's essentially your version of the lunch pail defense then, huh?
Yes, same exact thing, just with a hammer.
Yeah, I like it. All right, you're the ACC Player of the Week, including last week when you hit for the cycle against East Tennessee State. Now, that's an unbelievable accomplishment, but which part of this is harder in the cycle? Everybody says the triple, but I've even heard single out of some people after they've gotten into it and they need the single. I've heard the last one's the hardest. Others say it's a triple.
I would say the triple is probably the hardest to get, but I've also never been in a cycle situation before until this. And the last one was very tough. I had two at-bats to get a single, and that single was really hard to get. I think if you had to hit a triple later in the game, that would be probably the toughest to do. But to get the triple out of the way early in the game really helped me. After I hit the double in like the fifth, I knew that I could get it.
All right, you're hitting over 400. Obviously, you're seeing the baseball. You always hear people say the hardest thing to do in sports is to hit the baseball. The hardest pitch, though, for you is what? I mean, right now you're hitting everything in sight, but in a normal, crazy, you know, again, this, you're upside down. It doesn't matter what they throw at you, you're going to slap at it. It's going in there somewhere. But what's the hardest pitch for you? Toughest pitch.
I would say the guys with the high spin, with the high velo, high spin fastballs up in the zone, kind of plays tough with my swing. I shouldn't swing at them, but when I do, I tend to not have success. So I just need to start taking those pitches.
You're still going
to swing. So they're not strikes when they're thrown. Right. They're just baiting you to swing is what you're telling
us.
Yeah.
Fastballs up in the zone. Yeah.
Like, please don't hit it. The bus is parked out 400 feet beyond right field. Please don't hit it.
Hey, Gavin, I want to ask you about John Sefcik because I've always thought he does a tremendous job. And he's done a really good job coming here to Blacksburg and kind of building this. What was it about Coach Sefcik that kind of triggered you to make this move and come to Blacksburg and be a part of the Hokies?
The relationships that he tries to build with every single player, regardless of where you're from, how you grow up, he's there for us. He's all about us in the classroom, on the field, whatever we need. If I call coach, like, I know that he's going to be willing to help with whatever it is.
Gavin, I get a sense that you guys are not surprised by the success of this season. Would that be accurate?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's accurate.
And why is that? I mean, what did you know about last spring and what you saw in the summer and the fall? And again, this COVID thing, everybody's got a different chemistry with a club. But what did you see that you said, say, you know what, we got something brewing here that we're going to surprise a bunch of people other than ourselves?
Yeah, I think we have a lot of confident guys that have played in this league for maybe not as long as some other guys, but every team in this league is extremely talented. Every team can win on any given night, and we knew that it would just come down to the fine line of making the big plays or not making the big plays is going to be the difference. And we've had some young guys step up. We got Nick Bittison back. I think we're in a really good spot, and I don't think anybody's really surprised by what we're doing. I don't think.
It's interesting, Gavin. You come from a area in Bristol where it's a baseball hotbed, isn't it? I mean, I don't think people realize what that area is like. We hear about the track. We know about the college football influence in that area, and that's strong too. But the baseball impact in the Tri-Cities is pretty strong, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really strong. A bunch of my buddies play Division I. I got a couple friends at Radford that are from the Tri-Cities. My buddy at pitching at Tennessee is from the Tri-Cities. I mean, there's a bunch of guys from Southwest Virginia, like Kate Hungate, Thomas Francisco. There's a bunch of guys from my area that I hit with all the time that are extremely good baseball players very talented. So,
by the way, what kind of relationship does the Virginia Tech baseball team have with the softball team?
Well, Sam's sister's like the best pitcher in the country, I think.
Right, right.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's all we know is that Sam's sister strikes out everybody.
All right, and let me say, with that said,
all we know,
go ahead. Yeah. No, go ahead. You're on a roll.
That's all we know is that Sam's sister strikes out every single person.
All right, with that said, you're going to the plate and you're going to see her in a softball game. So how's that going to work out?
I think me and Sam actually talked about making this happen. I said, 5 at bats, I'm probably striking out the first 3. And then the last 2, I don't know.
Wait a minute. Here's what I heard out of that. The first 3 times at bat, you get a sense of the timing. The next 2 are going to land in Winston-Salem, is what that sounds like to me.
The next 2, I might have a chance. But like I said, I don't like the high spin fastballs. And like they're throwing underhand, so everything's going to, I don't know. I don't like my chances.
Gavin, I'll be honest with you. I'd kind of like to see that matchup. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'd be up for that.
We'll try to make it happen.
All right. I think that would be cool.
All right, here's the deal. Look, one thing I know about Virginia Tech, they got great social media up there. You guys got one of the better social media accounts, not only in the ACC, but in the country. So we can make that kind of stuff happen, and we'll put it here on Packer and Durham. And if you need to come back and then, you know, kind of reset and tell us what happened, we'd be all for that, right, Pack? We're not going to – I mean, there ain't going to be no winners or losers here,
right?
It's all about good fun.
That's right.
But I'm not sure, Gavin, because Keely, she cuts that joker loose now.
Keely, I actually watched her pitch, a couple weeks ago against UVA, and I saw a couple fastballs or rise balls. I'm not sure what they were. I was like, I could probably hit that. Then she threw the changeup or whatever pitch that was, and I was like, yeah, I have no chance.
Well, we just had her on the show last week, or maybe it was the week before, and she's just been awesome. And, you know, very low-key, matter-of-fact, just goes about her business. Then she gets out there and between the lines, and it's just filthy. I mean, just what are you going to do with it?
Strikes out 20 again.
Right. I mean, it's just like, oh, my goodness, what are you going to do with it? Yeah. So, listen, you guys are a blast to watch because – it's grab your popcorn time, Mike Young style, when you guys are playing. And just keep up the good work, man. Big series this week. They're all big moving forward. But what a great story. We wish you the very best.
Thank you very much.
Pack, what about the question?
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. Pack. Gavin's making his debut. We've got to ask the question. I'm sorry. We do this for every student
athlete.
Gavin
gets the question.
I got comfortable with Gavin. I mean, he was so cool behind the mic there. It's like he's been on with us 100 times. I forgot this is your debut. The toughest class you've ever had at Virginia Tech is what?
Toughest class. I don't know. Maybe business. It was so hard. I don't even remember the name of it. One of the business classes I had to make it pass fail. It was the only class I've actually struggled with here. So business, but I try to schedule the easier classes if I can.
Well, that's, you know, we get it. It was a high fastball is what that business class was. A high fastball is what that was.
Yeah, that business class was a high fastball with the slider in the dirt.
Hey, let me tell you something, Gavin. You just jumped to, like, the top of the list of my favorite student-athletes because you and I share something in common. It was so hard, I forgot what it was called.
I wanted to forget it.
Absolutely right.
I wanted to forget it.
Hard, I forgot what it was called.
I don't even remember. It was tough, though.
That's it. That's all. Hey, it does not matter.
Tough 101.
There we go.
Tough 101.
Thanks, Gavin. Good luck this weekend, okay?
Thank you, guys.
You got it. Best of luck.
Yeah. Gavin Cross, who's raking it for the Hokies.
Boy, he is. Their whole team is.
From Bristol, Tennessee, not Virginia, Pack. He's on the Tennessee side of Bristol.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Thursday edition coming to a close. Appreciate all the great guests, smart people up in Bristol making it look good. Yep. Old Gavin Cross now, I was just going to tell you, did he not look like a golfer too? I mean, he looked like had a little Jordan Spieth looking thing going on there, and casual, handled himself right, hitting everything that he looks at.
Yeah.
Like old Gavin Cross.
Let me get this piece of news. We got two pieces of news. Then we're going to cover the rest of this deal we somehow got on at the start of the show. Number one, Carlos Rodon last night.
Yes.
Battled shoulder and elbow problems throughout his big league career. No hitter last night for the Chicago White Sox. Came within, I don't know, two-thirds of an inning of a perfect game. This is the Carlos Rodon that we saw at NC State now and in the ACC, just wiping people out. Great job last night. Congratulations to him. Great call, by the way, from our friend Jason Benetti. He and Steve Stone, marvelous job last night on television. They're really good. And I know Rick Bozich, who's been on our show, is happy. Big White Sox guy, Bozich. There you go.
Cool.
Let me offer up a bit of news. We normally wouldn't do this, but I got to tell you, friend of the show, the queen of Yoo-Hoo and beef jerky, announced on her Instagram that she's going west. Gina Conti of Wake Forest is going to transfer to UCLA for that extra year. So I don't know where the Yoo-Hoo and the beef jerky, I don't know how in the world in L.A. there'll be Yoo-Hoo and beef jerky in Westwood. There'll be beef jerky. I'm not sure about the Yoo-Hoo. That doesn't sound L.A. to me. But we wish Gina the best. So
she's
good luck,
awesome.
Gina Conti.
Right. She's awesome. And listen, UCLA is a great school. Westwood's beautiful.
Yeah.
But she will be the only girl on campus with a Yoo-Hoo in her back pocket and some beef jerky in the backpack. I can assure you that. Because there's nobody on that campus at UCLA eating beef jerky and drinking Yoo-Hoo. I assure you she will be the only one there. But we wish her the best. She is been great to talk to, wonderful to watch play.
Yep.
And just wish her nothing but success. She's tremendous.
She'll be shipping Yoo-Hoo out there by the pallet in order to get that. Okay. I don't know if people have noticed this, but now's a really good indicator. Like, you see the graph on the bottom of the screen there with Gina Conti, or we put a graph back up to show you the phone number or something like that at the bottom of the screen. And Packers bobblehead is like right beside the graph.
Yeah.
So when we put, there it is. Like, see, right beside Packer and Durham, there's that bobblehead. And it's almost like it's become part of the graphic now on the show this morning. And the other thing is, I got to be honest with you. That bobblehead was done in 2003, and it don't look a damn thing like you now. So there you go.
If you said, hey, listen, what's up with the Lawrence Tiffany bobblehead? You'd go, oh, yeah, the Virginia's giving those out this weekend or whatever.
So there you go.
The full head of hair back then. That's 18 years ago.
Mm.
And by the way, I looked up. Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead. No, this is what I was getting to.
Oh, okay.
There are not that many of these things on the open market. We're acting like, you know, they're available at every corner. This is what I would call, I don't know how Drew or Josh look at this, I would call this limited edition.
Thank God. Thank God. Well, I told the Charlotte Knights asked me to throw out the first pitch back when I was hosting Primetime with the Pac-Man here in Charlotte. I said, I'd love to do it. And they picked a date, and as we found out, it was August the 15th, 2003. And the game was a doubleheader. And I said, well, guys, I'm on the air till 7 p.m., And they're like, hey, no problem. You can throw out the first pitch of the second game. I said, great, no problem. So they hooked me up with some tickets. I got family and friends, and they give out these goofy bobbleheads.
Sure. Box seats.
And little did I know, the first game went into extra innings. As a matter of fact, I looked it up. The game one started at 6:17 p.m. and ended at 12:37 a.m. The first game went 6 hours and 20 minutes, and they Pack, what are you still doing here? I said, you asked me to throw out the first pitch of the second game. It's not going to be till 1 o'clock in the morning. I said, I'm up. It's Friday night. Plus, he's going to give me something to talk about on Monday's show. And so, sure enough, about 1 o'clock in the morning, in front of about 35 people, I'm tossing that high fastball that Gavin Cross wish he could hit. And the rest is history. How about that? That was the beginning. 6:17
classic
to 12:37 a.m. is when game one ended.
Yeah,
true story.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.